First Nations people in British Columbia are being hit hard by COVID-19. While they make up just 4% of BC's population, they make up almost 6.5% of all COVID-19 cases in the province. Vancouver Island has seen a number of serious outbreaks in First Nations communities, from Namjis in Alert Bay to Sinamook in Nanaimo, and Cowichan tribes in the Cowichan Valley. But there's new hope. As COVID-19 vaccines are being rolled out across the province, First Nations people have been given priority, and hundreds of First Nations people are getting life-saving shots every day. I spoke to Dr. Shannon McDonald, Acting Chief Medical Officer for the First Nations Health Authority, over the phone yesterday.
Today we're joined by Dr. Shannon McDonald, the Acting Chief Medical Officer for the First Nations Health Authority in BC. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning. As you know, First Nations people in British Columbia have been disproportionately affected by COVID-19. In fact, the rate of positive cases for First Nations people in BC is more than double that of other residents here. And on Vancouver Island, First Nations people make up 30% of all people who have tested positive for the disease. Why do you think that's happening?
Well, those numbers are definitely concerning. I think there are multiple factors. In many of our communities, there are a high rate of individuals who live in multi-generational homes or when a lot of people live together. So when somebody who is positive for COVID unknowingly shares that joy with the people they live with, rather than having one person, maybe a partner, getting COVID, it could be as many as, you know, 7, 8 or more in a household. Communities are very close-knit, and often there would be, despite our advice, lots of visiting back and forth, cultural ceremonies, and shared resources. So it becomes very challenging once COVID is in the community to isolate people. There aren't many locations for people to isolate in the way that there may be in larger communities off reserve. So those are all factors. The concerning part, of course, is that we have many people with serious chronic diseases that put them at larger risk for serious consequences, hospitalization, and even death. And we've seen that in our community, sadly.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is related to what's referred to as the social determinants of health. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And just to follow up on that, what's being done to lower the infections among First Nations people?
We've been very much supported by communities who have put extreme effort into isolating themselves. So in some communities have gone on lockdown or restricted access on and off community. Many workplaces in community have been closed temporarily and people are working from home. Their communities have really stepped up to deliver food and medication and other things to individuals or families who have need. And I think it, just like it is for every other part of the population, reminding people of their role as a partner in this, that to protect themselves as an individual and to protect people around them, there's certain things that they really do have to do. And it goes back down to the social distancing, mask wearing, hand washing, all of those things that we've been doing for a long time.
So you spoke a little bit about how some of the communities are taking action. I think, you know, maybe people on the island may be familiar with the Sinamu and the Cowichan tribes who were under shelter-in-place orders earlier this year. But as you know, again, a majority actually of the cases, First Nations people actually live off reserve. How are you reaching out to the urban First Nations people?
We have a split responsibility with regional health authorities. So for a lot of people who live off reserve, they receive most of their medical care from provincial systems. They're not restricted from receiving service on reserve, but there's certainly some limitations. However, First Nations Health Authority has a budget for isolation support. So should somebody need to isolate, we have had individuals who have stayed in hotel rooms, and our regional teams have acted to support them in that isolation. So bringing food and medication, et cetera, whatever they might need. It's a little difficult to explain how things work, partly because we have a very close relationship with Island Health and have been well supported by their system to make sure people get what they need should they become ill. And the same messages, as I said, that we've been given to people on reserve are the messages that are given to people off reserve about personal behavior and what they need to do to keep themselves well.
Mm-hmm. Now, vaccines are actually rolling out now, which is great news.
As of yesterday, we've used 26,041 doses.
Okay, and First Nations people, they are being prioritized for immunizations. Why is it important that people get immunized?
Oh, such a long story. The most important thing, of course, is at an individual level. So we don't want people to get sick, and we don't want people to be able to transmit infection to others. So we don't want people to get sick or get seriously ill or, of course, lose their lives to this infection. But also, very importantly, the people you live, work, and socialize with, you want to be able to keep everybody else well. We know scientifically that if we get about 70% of the community immunized, that it will create what's called community immunity, which makes it really difficult for that virus to spread among community members. The virus needs a human host to be able to replicate. They don't have their own DNA, so if they don't have anybody that they can transmit to, they can't replicate, and it means the whole community can stay well, or at least as many people as possible.
Right, and I know FNHA has been working to make sure that people are comfortable when they get that COVID shot, and it's done in a culturally safe way. Can you tell our listeners a bit how you do that?
Well, we want to make sure that people understand that it is ultimately their choice, and that our job is to give them as much good information about the immunization, the process, the potential side effects, the risks and benefits. And we've worked really hard to be communicating that. We have a lot of material on our website. We have regular webinars where people can listen in to the health professionals on the team, that we have made ourselves available for individual questions if people have real concerns. So there's been a lot of communication. I think one of the things that's been the most exciting and really interesting to see is we have something on our website about vaccination champions and individuals from the communities themselves, the leaders, the elders, and others have pictures of themselves getting their vaccination and a little bit of a blurb about why they've done that, why they've chosen to do that, and encouraging each other to not only keep themselves well as individuals, but to keep the community well, especially our elders, our language keepers and knowledge holders. Every time one of them passes, it's like we lose a library, and mm-hmm. We can't continue to allow that to happen if we can prevent it.
Right. No, I think that the Vax Champs campaign is really interesting. Can you tell maybe our listeners why it's important that people see others getting a shot?
Well, I think we talk about vaccine confidence. You hear a lot about vaccine hesitancy, but I think we're trying to turn that around to give people vaccine confidence. And if people are unsure, sometimes it helps to see the people they know, who they trust, have made the decision, and they've said why. And I think that influences people to think about those factors, about community wellness and being able to get back to a life that, I don't know if we'll ever get back to what we used to think of as normal, but certainly more normal than we have right now.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, that's all the questions I have. Is there anything else that you think it's important for people to know?
Thanks, Mick. The strongest message right now is stay the course. I know some people have thought they get the shot in the arm and they're free to go. And unfortunately, that's not the case. Until we get that community immunity well in place, we'll still have to be following those public health methodologies and advice for a while yet. So hang in there, stay the course, and be good to yourself.